Alright, I don't have my real recorder with me, but I got this little Sony Walkman MP3 player that I bought. So it'll have to do, man. It records not too bad. It's funny that Sony Walkman was like the number one brand back in the day for tape players and CD players, and now for MP3 players, it's kind of a piece of shit. I mean, it's fine, but anything that's not an iPod, you know, it just really seems like bullshit. I don't know. Apple really fucking nailed the mind share on that. I don't even know what percentage of people actually use iPods, but that totally seemed like the thing. Like, if you don't have the iPod, you just got some dumb crap. Sony dropped the ball on that shit. So I've been doing this thing lately, I don't know, just kind of lucky, I guess. Like, my sleep schedule was so fucked where I was going to bed at, like, 2 in the afternoon and just getting no sun because, like, we're just about, it's right before Christmas now, and we're just about at the darkest day of the year. And I was just getting no sun, just staying up all night. Kind of fun in its own way, but, like, I don't think I have seasonal depression. It's not like I'm cutting myself if I don't get sun, but I definitely feel better when I do get sun. So I just happened to wake up, I don't know, my weird sleep schedule happened to align that I woke up right at sunrise one day, about a week or so ago, and then I've just managed to keep it up every day since then. Like, I just get up either just before the sun rises or just after, and then push my way through the day with a lot of coffee or whatever, and then once it starts getting dark at like 5:30 or something, just go to bed not long after that and sleep like a madman. And it's been working out well, and I like it. I've been getting up in the morning and just fucking going to a coffee shop. There's a couple of Starbuckses about 20 minutes from my house that are both really big, and you can just kind of get lost in there. Just sit in the corner somewhere, and no one gives a fuck if you're there for 2 hours. So I've been getting a lot of writing done, because it's becoming obvious that I'm just not gonna get a job. I just can't bring myself to do it. Oh, that's loud. Well, I'll get back into this once I get past this construction. Let's get back to, I don't remember where I was at in my KMFDMing, but I jumped ahead to some of their 2000 albums. So here's my favorite song from their 2003 album, World War III. It's called Bullets, Bombs, and Bigotry. Reminds me a lot of, it's a little bit like Ultra, it's the same guy who sings, it just reminds me a lot of old school KMFDM. And it's weird, it even has a fucking harmonica part in it. So here's Bullets, Bombs, and Bigotry by KMFDM.
You
It was actually pretty hard to decide on that song. Because what happened is I skipped some eras of KMFDM. So back in the day, it was Sasha and Esch and Gunter Schultz, I'd say, were the three main dudes in KMFDM. And then Esch and Gunter left and started their own band called Slick Idiot. And this dude named Tim Skold, he joined in. That was a really good era. Sasha and Tim Skold together did some awesome stuff, just tons of good albums. And then Tim Skold left as well. So now it's just Sasha by himself, and he's got like, it's been the most consistent lineup. I mean, for like the last 10 years, it's been Sasha, he's got a couple guitar players, he's got this, what's the girl's name? Lucia? Something? Who is like his kind of constant singer. And the guy who sang on that song, who I can never remember his name for some reason. But yeah, it seems like noticeable that all the songwriting duties are all on this one guy now. And he hasn't slowed down production at all. There's still a new KMFDM album every 2 or 3 years. So that album, World War III, I mean, it's just good all around. It's like a very consistent, pretty decent album. But there isn't any one song that really stands out as the best. It took a long time for that song to rise up a little bit more for me. Like, that one's just slightly better than the other ones, but overall it's just a good album. I like it. So I was saying about writing, yeah, since it's become pretty obvious that I'm just not gonna get a job, I just don't wanna, I don't need to, I can live on the little bit of money my parents give me. It's not that little, it's $1,000 a month, but I mean, they can afford it. Basically, I'm basically okay with the way things are, just that they obviously are stalled. But the thing is, I'm in an extremely excellent position insofar as, like, being a writer. I mean, I know I'm good at writing, I just am not practiced at it. Like, I don't have a good work ethic. But I'm in such an awesome position that is just so lucky, where I can just spend my days working on writing. I just need to be self-motivated. I just need to do it. And this week I've been doing it. Like, every morning I get up, I go to a coffee shop, and I spend like 2, 3, 4 hours writing. I've done it every day. And I think, I mean, if I can just keep this up, like, this is, it feels like a job. It feels like I've got a job. Like, I'm going to my office and I'm doing a day's work, you know? I feel much better about myself on top of just getting sun. Like, I'm really kind of earning my keep. And, I mean, maybe it sounds arrogant or whatever, but as far as writing, like, I really don't think you can learn to be a good writer. You can learn to be a better writer, I guess, but, like, you can just, you know, if someone's a good writer or not. It's obvious. And while I write a lot of shit that's bad, and I've gotten better, I mean, it's just always been obvious since I was in, like, 7th or 8th grade that I can write. It's fine. I got that skill. I don't know, people say if you're not questioning your art, then it's gonna be bad. If, like, you're not always, like, worried that it's not good enough, then it's not gonna be any good. And I know what they mean, but on the other hand, you can't just think it's terrible. Like, you have to have some sense that you are talented in some way at what you're trying to do. Point is, I feel like this is a good way to use my time. This is so much less, this is not, there's no shame in this, you know? If I do stick with this, yeah, I'm not going to a normal job every day, but I am doing something. And just, like, the amount of time I've put into it, like, just to sit there for 3 or 4 hours and work on stuff, like, that's awesome. Today I didn't do quite as much as I had hoped. I try to work on each one of, like, 6 little stories I'm working on. A little, I mean, some of them are massive novels and film script and whatnot, but I didn't make it through all of them today. I made it through like 4 of the 6. But once it gets to be about noon, my mind just starts to wander. I get hungry. I gotta go home. I feel like that's good. That's a good half day's work. I can spend the rest of the day working on other stuff. You know, podcasts, documentaries, whatever the fuck, shitty comics. And when the sun goes down, go the fuck to bed. Get some more sun tomorrow. So that's what I've been doing. Alright, let's play some Distillers. I love the way Brody from the Distillers sings so much. She even, like, I just grabbed this torrent of a bunch of Distiller stuff and it had to them doing a cover of the Spider-Man theme, and I was like, oh, it's gonna be just weird and lame and jingly, you know, throwaway thing. But it's fucking cool. She can even make the Spider-Man theme sound like sexy and badass. That chick is cool as shit. So here's the Distillers doing Spider-Man, and then I Am a Revenant.
My grave and I. Another year has passed and I'm alright. I lick the soul from my wounds and run into the night. Run into the night.
Oh man, I'm almost home. Starbucks is a lot closer to my house than I realized. This would be a short episode if I just stopped right here. Maybe when I get home with my real recorder, talk about writing theory a little. Kind of interested in that, but let's play another KMFDM song. So, after World War III, I skipped ahead to the 2009 album Blitz. I think I remember Matt saying that he bought this one and was just like, oh, no, it wasn't this. It was Hal Rook, the one before that, that he bought. He said it was the last KMFDM album he was going to buy because he's like, ah, it just wasn't worth it. It kind of sucked. I still haven't really listened to it. But then the one after this, Blitz, I liked it. Again, it's like, it's all Sasha and his new crew. It's not super, super great, but it's like, it's good. I don't know, just, I like it. And I'm going to play, this is a pretty peculiar song. So, back in the day, so KMFDM really got a shot in the arm because A Drug Against War in like 93, 94, the video got played a lot on Much Music, I mean MTV. And then the album after that, Nile, had Juke Joint Jezebel and was just their best album ever. So they were riding pretty high. So the record label really pushed the one after that called Extort, which wasn't that great of an album, but it was their best-selling album just because that was their kind of career high point. And as the first single, like even though KMFDM is kind of a orthodox band, they know what they do and they do it over and over, they still have this kind of fuck you streak. So in this case, because they're on this underground dance label, and they're known as these industrial guys, I mean, they rejected the mainstream by courting the mainstream. Like, what they did is, the lead single was this song called Power, that I never really liked that much, but it's got, like Sasha said, he deliberately wrote this song with this big female, big fat female chorus of just like the kind of thing that his demographic and his listener base wouldn't like. And he did it on purpose. Be like, yeah, fuck you, here it is. And he's right, I mean, I kind of didn't like it. I didn't hate it, but anyway, let me play a little bit of that song. So the lady who sings on that song, her name's Cheryl something, that was her only KMFDM appearance. She was just a hired gun for that one song. She sings on a bunch of songs, you know, just kind of a Ronin fucking chick singer. So all these years later, that album came out in 96, I think, 2009, there's a song called Strut, and he brought her back, and it's, I'm surprised how much I like this song, because it's just like about dressing up all glammy and just being a hot chick going to a club type of thing and just using your fucking woman powers of being all dolled up and strutting around, yeah. I don't know, it's just a catchy fucking tune. It's got the little Sex and Drugs and Rock and Roll guitar riff in it. It's a silly song in some ways, but it's a real good song too. So here's KMFDM with Strut.
Come on, get business. Won't get the best of me.
right now that I'm home, I don't know if I really feel like talking about writing theory when I was walking. You know, it's like, hey, I'm walking home anyway. Let's blab now that I am home. There's all these things I can do. But just briefly, I guess, what I've found is useful for me, because I've read a lot of books about, oh, writing this, writing that. Not really very helpful. Interesting, I guess, just to get you in the mindset. But what I've been, what's been working for me is working on a lot of things at once. So it puts very little pressure on any one thing. Like, the amount I get done on any given story each day is very, very little. Because if I feel kind of stuck or uninspired, like, I'll just read through stuff, read through old notes, and as long as I make a new note, you know, I come up with something new. Like, it seems like with stories there's a discovery phase where you're just trying to come up with stuff, and you just write it down in any shitty way, point form, or just badly done, just whatever, just to get it there. And then a lot of organizing also, putting things in order or in categories, and still just come up with more and more stuff. And then when it's finally you're out of stuff, that's when it can contract down, you know, and solidify into an actual story, and you chisel away at stuff and you fix the parts that are just, you know, like rough sketches. It feels like construction, you know, it is like breaking ground. Like, if I'm stuck on a part and I'll just write some quick notes for tomorrow, you know, like I'm breaking ground on that, so at least tomorrow there'll be something there to work on. And I think the daily thing is very important. That's one of my favorite little quotes I heard from Gretchen Rubin. I can't remember who originally said it, but it's that that a daily labor, be it truly daily, will outperform any spasmodic Hercules. Like, this idea that you just write that, sit down, you know, and work for hours and hours and hours on one thing, or like really just work hard on something for like a day or a week or something. All-nighters, that type of shit. Bad idea with writing. It might work okay with other disciplines, but with writing, the last thing you want to do is fall into bland cliche. Otherwise, why bother? Like, if your brain's not firing all the way and you're just falling back on standard shit, then why are you even writing it? Who gives a fuck? There's no point at all. Where if you just do little bits every day, it's a lot fresher and a lot better, I think. And just a lot less intimidating. It's like, all I gotta do is work on them a little, just some, and that's good. And since I've got so many things, I mean, it's still, I wake up early in the morning and then I work till like noon. It's a pretty good work stretch. And if I'm stuck on one thing, just go to the other thing. In fact, I still do all my writing on this Droid, this little phone I got from Matt in Montana. And it's falling apart, man. A bunch of the buttons have fallen off. Like, the buttons are there, but you can't see what letter they used to be. And the USB port doesn't work anymore, which kind of sucks, because now I got to take the SD card out to back up things. But also the Wi-Fi died on it, but that's probably for the best, because, you know, it did nothing but distract me. Just go online and look up shit, and there's no point. It's kind of better to not have it. But if it's there, I have to use it, you know? So it's like the fact that this thing broke is kind of neat, kind of useful. All right, I'm going to play a couple of songs by the Rural Alberta Advantage. I played some other stuff a little over a year ago, and then I just sort of, they dropped off, and then I started listening to their first album again. It's called Hometowns. I haven't heard the second one yet, but this first album I like a lot. So I'm going to play the very first song. All right, this first song is called The Ballad of the RAA. Nice little tune. Guy's kind of a weird singer, but I like the style they've got. And then the second song I'm going to play is called Don't Haunt This Place. That's actually how I found out about this band, is Wheezy Waiter from YouTube did a cover of this song. And this song's really cool. It's really simple. It's just the second song I'm going to play. It's just a keyboard and some strings. But the drummer is going bananas on it. Like, if you see them play it live ever too, he's just fucking going nuts. It's really cool. So here's The Ballad of the RAA and Don't Haunt This Place by the Rural Alberta Advantage, who I don't know why they're called that, because they formed in Toronto. Thank you.
will pass. It's the good ones that will last. Right here, what we've had, it's a good thing and it will last. Don't own this place. I've been slow as the beat's out of pace. West side apartment grows lonely and dark. West side apartment is two more empty hearts. I see your keys hanging in the same place. They haven't moved for a month or even a day. This is hard, it was fun, we should do it again. Give ourselves some time, 10 years in a day.
Song before I get out of here. This is this guy, Mark Ronson, that I've been listening to a bunch lately. He was some kind of DJ mashup fucking guy. I don't know. Anyway, this song he did with Lily Allen is called Oh My God, and I don't know. I'm looking it up on fucking Wiki. I don't know what the fuck it is. It's like a cover of a Kaiser Chiefs song or something. I don't know what the fuck. Who gives a shit? It's a song that's fucking catchy. So here's that. So long. We'll be right back.
right back up again. I come back stronger than